We will go forth in grace alone, knowing that the undeserved favour of God goes with us. We're going to take a moment or two to look at these words. I'll stand over here because I might be able to see the band better if I stand over here. We're going to look at some of these characters. My son Richard, many of you know, lives in Kenya. And one of his jobs in Kenya East Territory is to supervise, to coordinate the emergency services there. And so he recently went on a conference to Nepal. And he said when he returned, he said to me, you know, Mum, one of the greatest sights I've ever seen was flying over the Himalayas. He said it was absolutely wonderful to be able to see through the clear sky the outline of the mountains, even Everest. Most beautiful sight. And it just reminded me that I once heard someone say that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Himalayas of the New Testament. Really high points of theology, a great theological legacy that Paul left for us. And so I began to read it again. And it is pretty deep. The letter to the Romans is pretty deep. But then I got to the end and this lovely list of names. And you know, I was really challenged by some of the things that Paul said about these people with whom he worked and who were his friends. And I want us to take just a look at some of them tonight, and just may it be a reminder of some of those qualities. We're talking about whole life discipleship. And in these people, we see evidence of it. We see that they do try to be disciples every day in every place and everywhere. And maybe they'll prompt us. Maybe what Paul says about them will prompt us to strive after more so after some of these qualities. So let's start, first of all, Paul says, greet my dear friend Epinetus. What a name, young people. Epinetus, would you fancy that? You'd have to spell it every time somebody asked your name, you'd have to spell it. Epinetus was a friend of Paul's. In fact, the Authorized Version says, my well-beloved friend. And Paul describes him as the first convert in Asia. And it's very obvious that Paul is very, very proud of Epinesis, his special friend. And he's proud because he was the first convert in Asia, one of the very first disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, in the biblical sense, the word convert simply means to turn or to return. And I like the way Paul says, the first convert to Christ. Here he is, Paul saying, this is what I like about Epinetus. I'm proud of him. He was the first person to turn to Christ and receive from him forgiveness and fresh grace and fresh strength and a direction in his life. So I'm very proud of him. He's my well-beloved friend. It's all right to be justly proud, to be a convert. And tonight, before we start thinking about the essence of discipleship, I want you just to celebrate the fact that you're a convert to Christ. You've turned to Christ at some sense, some time in your life, received his forgiveness through your confession and through your acknowledgement of sin, and he's put your life on a new footing. I was interested to learn in the early days of the Salvation Army how proud they were of their converts. Did you know that in the first instance of the Salvation Army, we had these big platforms, not to seat the band or the songsters or to do anything else for, but the converts sat on the platform. Once you came to the mercy seat, then you went onto the platform. I was interested to read that. So in the early days of the army, had huge platforms because that's where the converts sat, because the Salvation Army was so proud of those who turned to Christ and found in him forgiveness, strength, peace, joy, and a fresh quality of life. Epinesis, Paul was proud of him. He was the first person to turn to Christ in Asia, and Paul was proud of him. Be justly proud of yourself tonight if you're a convert. If you have turned to Christ and found this quality of life and all that the songsters were singing about, if you have turned to him, then celebrate tonight. Celebrate your faith. Celebrate the fact that you're a convert. I told you a little bit about my story last week, how I was born in a pub and that was my background. What I didn't tell you was how I became a convert to Christ. It was in a decision Sunday. How many of you, I wonder, can remember those things? Decision Sundays. And I was sitting on the front row with my friend when the officer said, "Now, who would like to come and give their lives to Jesus?" And whoever I was sitting next to, my friend, she nudged me and said, "I'll go if you go." So I went. I went to the mercy seat on a decision Sunday simply because my friend gave me a nudge. But whoever spoke to me did a really good job about telling me about Jesus and what a difference he would make in my life if I just allowed him to take control. And that was a good few years ago. And I've been so grateful, and I've been celebrating ever since the fact that I'm a convert to Christ. So the first thing I want to say that Epaphras reminds me of is celebrate your conversion. Celebrate your faith. Celebrate your knowledge of Jesus. Be justly proud of the fact that you are a convert to Christ. May God help us just daily to realize the blessings that come through returning to Jesus and finding in him. And I would say, if there's anyone in this meeting who've not reached out simply in faith, that you might do so in these days. Secondly, who should we look at next? Gaius. Paul speaks about Gaius. I think that Gaius had a house big enough. He lived in Corinth, I'm told, and he had a house big enough to have the church in it, the early church in it, because Paul speaks about the hospitality of Gaius. And he just mentions it. He seems to feel that this is important. And he speaks about the hospitality of the home. But actually, the word hospitality means to welcome friends and strangers. To welcome the friendly reception of friends and strangers. You know, I want to be like Gaius. I believe that hospitality is underestimated. It's played down. It's described in Romans chapter 12 as a spiritual gift. God gives it to us, but I believe that it's played down. And I believe that in these days, we really need to beef it up a bit. In these days where loneliness is the greatest social ill, we have to be welcoming people, not only into our homes, but into our halls, and into our lives. We have to be hospitable people like Gaius. And I'm sure Joan won't mind me mentioning that. But last Sunday morning, I watched her move across and sit next to a lady who was at the army for the first time and sitting on her own. That was hospitality in action. That was welcoming people into our church in a very practical way. May we be hospitable people. May we be open in ourselves, friendly to people, so that this business of loneliness, which is a scourge in our age and generation. I was in the shop. You might think I'm spending a lot of time in the shop, but I was in the shop buying a magazine the other day, and there was a long queue. And so I decided that I would pick up another magazine and read it, not the one I was going to buy. I was trying to get a buy one, get one free kind of thing. I'm reading this magazine, and there was a whole page of letters to Marge. They were doing a feature on Marge Proops, and I read this very interesting letter. It's got nothing to do with what I want to say, but I want to tell you about it. It said, "Dear Marge, I'm over 60 years of age, and I've just had my first proposal of marriage. What do you think I should do?" At the bottom, she said, "P.S., I've just had all my teeth out." I don't know what that had to do with anything. And I couldn't wait to read what Marge says. Marge said, "Dear reader, grab him quick and keep your mouth shut." I thought that's really good. But you know, what I want to say is, I went on to read the rest of those letters to Marge. And through it all, there came loneliness and rejection. And if we're going to be whole life disciples, we will be like Gaius, hospitable people. So that we are welcoming more people, are won for the church by a kind word, and a friendly smile than any a sermon. More people are lost to the church by an unkind word and a bad attitude. May we be hospitable. Dias was mentioned by Paul as being hospitable. May we look for that spiritual gift and claim it. It's a real good one, you know, a real good one. Hospitable people. Let's just have a look at, very briefly, a couple more. Let's look at Phoebe. Phoebe. She was a deacon of the church, and she was described by Paul as being a helper. A helper. Now, you know, helping people is important. Help can cover all kinds of things. It can be very practical things that we do, but it can be encouragement. It can be even constructive criticism. It can be giving people a prod when they need it. You know, I was interested to read in the news this week about the Bayeux Tapestry coming to England. I was born in Dorset. Dorchester is my home, and we are twinned in Dorchester with Bayeux. And so I grew up with the Bayeux Tapestry. On the Bayeux Tapestry, it simply has one little picture. It's about the Battle of Hastings, of course. And it has a picture of King Harold prodding some of his troops. And underneath it, it says, King Harold comforts his troops. He's just prodding them, giving them a little bit of extra strength and a little push in the direction. He's trying to help them. May God help us to be really helpful people. And Jesus himself was the great helper. We acknowledge that. One of our lovely core appointments was Aberdeen Citadel. And very often when we were core officers there, we'd take the students home for tea, and we all for dinner, and we always had rice pudding. Every Sunday we'd have rice pudding. Because if there were a few students, it would go round. If there were a lot of students, we'd have a little bit more milk and it would still go round. And you know, I met one of those students recently. He's a doctor now, and he said to me, you know, I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. I thought, what's he going to say? I'll never forget your sermons. I'll never forget your good words. I'll never forget you, you know. He said, I'll never forget your rice pudding. Well, that was a downer to start with. But what he was saying was, I'll never forget the way that you helped me in a very practical way when I was away from home and needing help. May we be helpful. I know it's very basic stuff, this, isn't it? But, you know, may we be helpful. And Jesus was a great, great example of one who helped people wherever he was. And for me, whole life discipleship, being a disciple every day, everywhere, all the time, in every place, every situation, is about, yes, just being helpful. Just being helpful. And finally, you'll be pleased. Finally, what's the last one? Andronicus and Junia, married couple. And Paul simply says about them, they were outstanding amongst the apostles. Outstanding Christians. Oh, I wish somebody would say that about me. An outstanding Christian. Somebody who actually stood out in the way that they lived their lives. Oh, may it be so. May we seek nothing more in this whole life discipleship business of being outstanding Christians. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. He says about them also that they'd been in prison with him. They'd spent time in prison. But there's no bitterness, no chip on their shoulders. And they were outstanding. Somehow they got grace to help them through that. I was reading the other day about the story of the prodigal son. And how the elder brother missed the party. He missed the party because he was jealous. How foolish. Jealousy, a chip on his shoulder, kept him away from the party. And yet still the father said to him, all I have is yours. And God says to us, all that I have in heaven is yours to make you outstanding Christians. May God help us to seek to be that in these days. So there it is, friends. That's it. We could say so much. And yes, Major Samuel, we could go through them all. And there are some complicated names. But Paul has got something lovely to say about all these people with whom he mixed and mingled. And I've looked at just a few of them. And I would certainly pray that daily I might celebrate my faith, that I might be justly proud that I am a convert to Christ and that he has given me a quality of life for all these years that I've never gone back on, never in any way strayed from, but by his grace he's given me that quality of life. I would pray that I might be hospitable, that I might be welcoming, not only in my home, to my friends and those that I know, but that I might be hospitable at the army, at my church, that my whole life might be welcoming to people that I might want to share with them in friendship. I want the gift of hospitality. It's downgraded, it's underrated, and yet I feel it's absolutely important. I pray that I might be a helper, practical help where I can, practical help, encouragement. I would pray that. I want to give people a prod now and then. My husband would call me a nag, I think, but whatever, a nagger, whatever. I like to give people a prod now and then, but it's all in the business of helping people. May I do it graciously and gracefully. And I want to be an outstanding Christian. I want the beauty of Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to flow through me. How's it going to work? Simply trusting every day. His commitment to us is great. He says to us, all I've got in heaven, all that I've got in heaven is yours. He says that to us. All the blessings and benefits of God himself are ours. That's how we do these things. That's what enables us to be whole life disciples and live as disciples every day in everything and everywhere. Let's turn to just two verses of a lovely song as we make our commitment at the end of this meeting. The song is 636, if you need it. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. This is such a lovely song. And then the next verse speaks about giving ourselves to him so that we might be people who are outstanding Christians. Let's sing this first verse together. Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall, rest on me. Is there anything better in life than to be blessed by God? I think not. To have all the resources of God available to us and placed upon us. We're going to sing this verse. I need to say, of course, that as we make this commitment through this song, if you want to make it here in our place of prayer, please, it's open. If you want to come and stand or kneel just to make a prayer. Maybe there's someone in this meeting who wants to be converted to Christ, who wants to turn to Christ and gain from him forgiveness, fresh strength, grace to live the next week, month, year. The opportunity has to be given. But for all of us, let's just pray this lovely prayer as we sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing
God, we simply pray that you will make us outstanding Christians. By your grace, through your blessing, through all the resources of heaven that you make available to us, make us to be disciples, whole life disciples, so that people might see Jesus in us, so they might be attracted to you through our witness, through our lifestyle, through our very hospitality, through our helping of others, through our celebration of faith. Others might want to know what we have that enables us to manage life. And so we simply pray that you'll accept the gift of our lives this week, this day, so that this week we might be outstanding followers of you. We ask it in your name. Amen.